Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 151, today on the 16th day of June, the 22nd day of Sivan, today being the 151st Take 10 for Torah. That means we've already accomplished over 25 hours, 1500 minutes of learning. Good for you all, kudos to you, hats off, over 26,000 downloads, and that's great. And at this point, I just wanted to reflect with the summer coming on where we're at, what we're going to be doing going further, and while I'm trying to figure out exactly what my summer schedule will allow vis-a-vis recording, I've realized that the secret of Take 10 is probably the habit-forming nature. People, I'd love to hear your feedback if you agree or disagree. Rabbi@yign.org. Any sort of feedback I'd like always. Negative, positive, do I prepare too much? Do I go too long? Maybe 10 minutes is just too long after all. Whatever it is you have to share, I'd love to hear. But my presumption is that it's the habit-forming nature, and so I really don't want to miss a day if possible. And I've noticed that there's usually a drop-off when there's a day or two missing, and eventually people catch up, but, you know, not always. And so, therefore, what I'd like to do is make sure that there is content all throughout the summer. It might be somewhat repeated, it might not all be original and new, but I'm curious to hear what people have to say about that. So please, feedback at rabbi@yign.org. Take the weekend, think about it, and let me know. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today is really a sort of a Dvar Torah, drasha, idea for Parsha Shlach. We know Parsha Shlach has the story of the Meraglim, the tragic story of the spies who went to see Eretz Yisrael and brought back a report which was cynical at best and caused the Jews great skepticism. And in their skepticism of God's promise of deliverance to, of course, the Holy Land, they caused them to cry needlessly, and that has been a day, a very difficult day, the day of Tisha B'Av, where God said, listen, if you cry needlessly, there will be a cause and a reason to cry eventually with need, for purpose. And that's become the Tisha B'Av, the tragedy of lack of appreciation of Eretz Yisrael, of the Beis HaMikdash, became the holiday, so to speak, of the tragedy of that loss. And so I just want to share with you a very quick idea. You know, at the beginning of the parsha, we have Moshe designating these Meraglim. These spies are designated, and they're pretty important people. And we have an interesting pasuk. These are the people that Moshe sent. So we have this thing right over here in the beginning of the parsha where Yehoshua is given a different name. His name is changed in honor of this mission. And it's not exactly clear why. Rashi says, though, I'll tell you why. The reason is because Spalalav Ka Yoshiacha, he adds to Hoshea Yehoshua, and that Yud is as if it's saying, God should save you, Miatzas Meraglim. God should save you from the plot of the other spies, meaning Moshe was concerned. Moshe was concerned about the motivation of this group, and in seeing his prized student Yehoshua going going along with these people, he was nervous, justifiably so. And so he gives him a little tefillah, and he's nervous. And so Ka Yoshiacha, he adds to his name. Now it's interesting because Yehoshua was not the only one of the spies who made it out unscathed. We have very soon after they return, and everybody's going crazy after all the report, everything that they had heard, we have Kalev, who's the other good guy of the spies, and he gets up and he says, Vayahas Kalev, you know, he hushes the people, he silences the people, and he ends up being shouted down, but he tries to use, you know, his, as one of the spies, his influence. He gets up, and according to Rashi, he gives a speech, he says, hey, take a look at what Ben Amram did, look at what Moshe did. Hashomea Hayasav, everybody who heard, Rashi says, that he was going to go and criticize Moshe. He was getting on the bandwagon, but because he was really pro Eretz Yisrael, he thought this was ridiculous, he had attempted to try to win the hearts and minds of the people back. Now, it didn't work, but what was the power of Kalev? Why wasn't Kalev's name changed, whereas Yehoshua's name was changed? So we do know that Kalev was able to tap into another force. The pasuk earlier says, Vayavo ad Chevron, in their travels he went to Chevron, they went, traveled until Chevron. And what does it mean? Rashi says, Kalev levado halach sham, it's a singular expression, and so it refers to one person, not all of the spies, otherwise it would have said Vayavo u, and so it's Vayavo ad Chevron, one guy went to Chevron, which guy? That was Kalev. Why? He went to Kivri Avos, he went to the Maris HaMachpelah, so that he could pray, so that he would not be entrapped by their Eitzah. So he had to do it on his own. he davened on his own behalf to make sure that nothing would happen to him and he wouldn't be influenced by the spies. Whereas Yehoshua was different. Yehoshua has Moshe davening on his behalf. It's almost as if, with this threat, Moshe anticipated Yehoshua having a distinct problem, whereas Kalev would be able to take care of it. Kalev would be okay. And the question is, really, why? The Mefarshim discussed this. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says something interesting. He says, when Moshe saw his humility, in describing the pasuk of Moshe changing his name, when he saw his humility, his anvesenuso, his timidness, he changed his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. So that humility is a good thing, right? Moshe was anav mikol adam, he was very humble, but what does its humility mean? So there's an interesting Mishnah and Shabbos, that talks about machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do you deal with bones and shells that are left on a table on Shabbos? And bones and shells are muktzah, generally. You can't use them. They have no use on Shabbos. So how do you clean them up? So Beis Shammai says you can clean them up. Beis Hillel says they're muktzah. You got to shake out the whole thing. You shouldn't handle them directly. The Gemara then later tells a story, an interesting story, about what different rabbis would do. And it says about a famous rabbi named Reb Zecharia ben Avkulas, okay? Reb Zecharia ben Avkulas, he would go and turn his face towards the back of the couch, machzer panav achurei hamita v'zarkin, and he would dispose of them. Like, he would almost hide away and make a decision of what to do, how to sort of paskin, and how to decide the halacha in this situation. There's a famous story, of course, with this Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, and that's the famous story of Rabbi Zecharia of Kamtza bar Kamtza. It's a story from Gittin, when we talk about the destruction of the second temple, and it talks about a guy who was named Bar Kamtza, who was accidentally invited to a party, and this guy Bar Kamtza was not supposed to be invited. A guy named Kamtza was, and went to the wrong place. While I'm at it, just for all you listeners of Take 10 for Torah, the Ismach family will be making a kiddush in honor of our daughter's bat mitzvah this coming Shabbat. Now, whether your name is Kamtza or your name is Bar Kamtza, you are all invited this coming Shabbat at the Young Israel of Great Neck, 236 Middle Neck Road. Come on down. And so the story goes, as we know, the host sees him, and he's a tremendous enemy of this Bar Kamtza, and so Bar Kamtza is expelled from the party. He doesn't want to leave. He offers to pay for the whole party, but this host is absolutely—he's like rabid. He absolutely will not have it. And so finally, everybody is watching as this man, the host, embarrasses Bar Kamtza and throws him out. And so what happens is Bar Kamtza decides to plot against the Jews, the rabbis, the people who supported this, who didn't object, etc. And so he sends a karban through the Caesar, and he goes and creates a mum. He creates a blemish. And he disqualifies the animal in a way which wouldn't be noticed by the non-Jewish person who was delivering it, but it would be noticed by the rabbis. They don't know what to do. Some people say it should be brought anyway, that you gotta appease the king. It's a matter of national security. Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas agrees. He doesn't know what to do. He says, people are going to think from here that you can bring a boneless animal as a carbon. And so they decide, not to accept the carbon. They don't bring the carbon. He kind of like just does the law as it is. And the debate rages further. Maybe we should kill this guy so he doesn't bring back the message that we didn't take it back. And again, Reb Zecharia disagrees. It says, people are going to think if we kill him, that the person who puts a mum on an animal is deserving of death. So now, it's an interesting story. And at the end of the story, we're not exactly sure who the victim is. Is the victim the rabbis who stood by while Bar Kamtza was getting embarrassed? Is the victim the people who embarrassed Bar Kamtza? Is the guilty perpetrator? Is it the host? Who is it? Is it Reb Zecharia ben Avkulas? So indeed, the Gemara says, I'm Reb Yochanan, and v'senusa shel Reb Zecharia ben Avkulas, hechrivu espeitenu v'sarfa sechaleinu v'higlisinu mi'artzeinu. His humility destroyed our home, burnt our heichal, and exiled us from our land. Pretty big accusation. And what's going on over here? What's this talking about? So this idea that we're pointing out is misplaced humility. Sometimes a person has to get up and say, I know it's right, and it's important for me to assert what I believe is right, and I'm sorry, I can't go along with something. Or I'm courageous enough to make a decision. If it's a harbin of clothes, can't figure out what to do between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with the nuts and the shells on the table. And so what does he do? Doesn't kind of make a decision. He just puts him behind the couch, He turns around and he sticks him over there. That's not what we need. We need people who are courageous. We need people who are able to stand up, people who are able to make decisions. Perhaps a different decision in the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza could have changed everything. So now when Yehoshua ben Nun is witnessed by his mentor Moshe, his Mishares, who is all troubled in previous parashas, so troubled that everybody is prophesizing. He says, Adoni Moshe Kalaim, destroy them. And the Medrash says, Lefishayim Misnabin Moshe, Mace, Yeshua Machnes Es Yisrael Aretz. People heard, at least the prophecy he heard, was that they would say that Moshe was going to die and Yeshua was going to lead them. And he said, me, the next leader? And that bothered him. And so he says, Kloem, he couldn't imagine such a thing. And so Moshe had to take Yeshua to the next level. He had to insert with him the confidence to be able to lead, to be able to not be so humble, to be able to make the right decisions. And so he did, and ultimately he succeeded and became one of the good spies who brought back the positive report.